This is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast that you'll ever hear. It's called the Toasty Podcast. Look, if anyone is going to start a media revolution, it might as well be us. Sky created the Toasty brand to influence people in a positive way in order to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. And here at the Toasty Podcast, we call that staying toasty. So, where does that leave you? It's simple, really. When you support our work, you're supporting the good fight. We produce podcasts, create YouTube and TikTok content, and design apparel that isn't made in China for you. We want to engage culture, so let's get toasty.
State is that?
I don't remember.
It's like abortion, like, has to happen no matter what, pretty much.
To have Down syndrome. Maybe. Might be Greenland. I don't know.
God dang it. I can't remember. I don't want to bring that up. Whatever, because I don't even know the fact. So, cool, man. Wow.
It's one of those countries.
Hey, hey, yeah. Well, anyway, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm bone ready.
Wow. All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky.
I'm Maddie B.
Today we kind of want to go over some basics for you guys because we realized, it just came to me that, oh my gosh, we haven't even gone over anything basics wise in politics and, you know, parties and any of that crap. So when you come on the show and you're listening, which, by the way, thank you, and if you're listening for the first time, mm-hmm. welcome. But if you're here to learn, we may already be past your point, you know, of learning. We may be going over your head. We may be going over your head.
This could be a good starter episode for anyone who's onto the podcast.
Or, you know, I might even label it as that, start here or something, and then, like, you know, maybe I'll put like a put it in the trailer or something. Anyway, point is, guys, you'll know. I'll put it in the show notes for you guys as well. And that's all I got right now. Let's get into it, you know?
Let's get toasty.
Ooh, yeah! Also, guys, like, share, subscribe. This is how we grow, sharing being number one. We also would like to take a moment to say a word for our sponsor, Toasty Creations.
Our parent company.
Our parent company, yes. We have apparel, and it is for you and is not made in China. It is actually materials from the USA. And it's built in, I say built, it's a shirt, but they're made in.
It's assembled.
It's assembled in Nicaragua.
It's woven together.
So, hey.
Stitched.
Support non-China labor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we get money from that, obviously, too, and that's good for us. I would say, hey, go ahead and go to our Patreon or go to our PayPal or whatever and donate. And while we do have that option available for you guys, if you do want to donate, that's awesome. But I always feel like I need to give you guys an object in return. I understand that we're giving you content.
A token of appreciation.
Yeah, it's a token of appreciation. Yeah. But also, like, I don't understand the weird content premise where you give someone money for that content they're producing because there's already so much free content out there. Like, why would you feel inclined to do that? You know what I mean? Even though I feel like this is very valuable for people. I don't know, you know? You know what? You tell us, huh? Anyway,
maybe that can be a Facebook warrior question. Are you annoyed by podcasts that ask for money on their?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, speaking of that, you know, I kind of want to give you guys a rundown here. I don't usually do this either. I'm trying to get better at explaining the show a little bit, like, more, you know?
Right.
So we always start with this little intro that we're doing right now, and then we go into our little commentary section. We'll talk about some current events or whatever, and then if we have a topic to discuss, like today we're talking about political parties, we will get into that as well. Kind of a mix, like during the commentary, maybe a little bit after that. And then we usually lead into our Facebook Warrior segment, and that is where we ask a question on Facebook, but I'm also starting to ask it other places as well. And if you respond or you comment and you tell us what you think, you have the chance to win a Toasty Tea. So that's what it is, man. It's in return of. And then we talk about it on the show, of course, and we do say your name and we say the comment.
And you get
on the
to
show.
Wear your toasty Nicaraguan comfy tea, and it's fantastic.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. I always think of the Barbie song when someone says fantastic.
Huh.
You're like,
It's coming together with the whole like peach colored shirt and
this is actually one of ours, dude. This is one of ours.
Well, I was gonna say it looks really good.
It says time or money on the back, and I know it looks like an American Apparel tee or whatever, American Fighter T-shirt, but it's not. So the guys that want to buy this because they're tools don't. Anyway, all right, that's it. Oh gosh,
neat.
Neato burrito, if you will. Anyway, guys, before we get started with the parties thing, I want to read some things here. Well, it's about parties, but, you know, it's not official. It's not the official narrative. So on Quora, they actually asked this question, and it was, what are the primary differences between a libertarian, a Republican, and a Democrat? And, you know, I'm just cherry-picking here, but it was funny, so I feel like reading it. This dude Joe... Dang, if I can scroll down correctly. Democrats believe government is good, but don't prove this when elected. Republicans believe government is harmful and do prove this when elected. Libertarians don't believe in government or getting elected. It is quite easy to find out what political parties believe. They aren't secretive. And then he puts all the websites to each party, and that was about it. And then he had some other stuff, but that was just the funny portion I wanted to read. Anyway, and then I think he's a Democratic because he's being biased. Okay, anywho, moving on.
That was pretty interesting, man. I like that little thing.
Yeah, it was. It was good, man. There was another one that was like, oh, here we go. This one is definitely stupid because it's not really true, but three guys walk into a bar, a Democrat, a Republican, and a Libertarian. They sit down, and the Democrat says, "Hey, guys, let's get some drinks. First round's on me." He buys three beers, and they all drink together, chatting away happily. Like, happily ever after. When they finish the round, the Republican calls the bartender over and orders another round. However, when they arrive, the Republican grabs all three beers and says, "Sorry, guys, I'm going to go drink with these guys over here," and walks away to join a group that looks just like him. The Democrat, a little pissed off at the unfairness, looks toward the Libertarian for reassurance. The Libertarian reaches into his flak jacket pocket, pulls out a hip flask, pours some whiskey into his empty beer glass, and proceeds to drink it on his own, staring blankly off into space, oblivious to any issues. That is so... That's like... What would you say about that? Not true at all?
No.
Just dumb?
Yeah.
It's just dumb. It was a funny joke, I guess, but like not even close.
Yeah,
that wasn't a good way to answer this guy's.
Not a very like thoughtful anecdote, if I had to critique it. You know what I mean? He didn't think it out very much.
No, not at all, dude. It doesn't actually answer the question.
The part about where the Libertarian reaches into his flak jacket pocket is pretty good.
Yeah, that was funny.
Pulls out his own because he's, you know, self-reliant.
Yeah.
But oblivious to any issues. Like, Libertarians aren't necessarily oblivious to the issues. They just feel like the government isn't the solution to those issues.
Right. This guy's obviously a Democrat.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Yeah, okay, Kirk.
I got everything. Kirk Lennard. Except the Democrat's not paying with his money. He's paying with everybody else's money and saying, "I got the drinks. Just hand me $5. And then they'll pocket a dollar because the drinks are only $4. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. You're right.
Government's
totally right,
extra middleman.
You're right, dude. Yep, I agree. I totally agree, man. Yeah. Totes agree, bro. Totes agree, man. So here's the deal. I actually just learned this before the podcast. Matt just explained it to me. But America is one of the only countries that has a two-party system. And I say two-party lightly because I know there are other parties. We clearly just established that. But the fact of the matter is they're kind of pushed out, and I say pushed out on purpose, of the way so that, you know, we have a two-party system every time. Republicans, Democrats. So that's where it all starts. I'm sure you guys know that. You guys know that's kind of the basis of it. But we kind of want to get into a little bit more of the, you know, nuances, you know what I mean? And I think it's time for us to freaking put this to bed as far as which party stands for what, you know? Because a party does not, I guess, describe or indicate anything upon your own beliefs. Like if I can have my own beliefs as a person and a human being, and that's different, like an ideology, so to speak. That is actually different than the party. Right, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
And people, I don't think people separate that. I think what's happening right now is people are melding all that together, and then it's like tribalism is happening because of that. And like it's almost like Republican is now my ideology and my belief rather than Republican being, no, that's just the political party, and I'm a conservative guy that also thinks that, you know, universal basic income could work or something, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying... just saying that... We've already talked about that. We've had that episode about that, actually. Uh-huh. You know? I got into an argument. So I did play devil's advocate with somebody about that because I was like, why don't you think that could work? Like, there's got to be a way we can make UBI work. Mm-hmm. Maybe not UBI. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, honestly, I shouldn't have said universal basic income because I think that a basic income of some type might work, but you have to get rid of all the other systems, which ends up not being a freaking leftist view. Get rid of all the welfare programs and just have a basic income. No one wants to say that because it won't happen. But anyway, that was just a little story. I just had to go off on there. You're like, okay. All right, dude. Dude, spit some facts, dude. Lay it on me, dude.
About
just lay it on me, dude. Political parties. Lay everything on me, bro. Political
parties in the United States.
Give it to me, Matt. Please. No, dude, but you were also showing me the amount of parties in, what was it? Was it England?
The UK.
The UK, dude?
Yeah.
It was like 6 or 7?
The UK Parliament. So, here we go. So, in the House of Commons, they have a bicameral legislature just like we do. So, okay, let me just, let's start back up. I just, you know, jumped in. God. So... bicameral means that there is bicameral. I don't know what that, hell that means. Legislatures was basically like
this is a real great basics podcast, right, dude.
A body, a deliberative group that you elect, the people elect directly, right? So in the House of Commons, it's like the House of Representatives for us. They're directly elected by the people into federal office, and there's certain jurisdictions for each member, unlike the president or the leader of parliament that just has blanket jurisdiction, essentially. And the House of Commons, so that's kind of like our House of Representatives, not like the Senate where there's two in each state.
You don't have, are you explaining each party right now?
No. The House of Commons and the House of Lords, which is like the United States House of Representatives, the United States Senate.
Yeah.
But in UK, they call it
the House of Lords.
House of Commons, yeah. And the House of Lords.
Right.
Because there's lords and there's commoners.
Plebs, if you will.
Plebs. lobster. There's an abstentionist party. Anyway, so HM government, I'm guessing that means Her Majesty's government. Pretty sure that's... Oh, there it is. Yeah, right. There it is. Yeah. So, there's the Conservative Party, which is the vast majority. There's 363 conservatives out of 650 seats. 363 are conservatives. 199 are for the Labor Party, and that's like their liberal wing. And conservatives are in blue. The Labor Party's in red. That's probably what you were thinking of when you had them said that they're backwards. Like Democrats are usually blue.
The colors are backwards. And
Republicans are usually red. It's opposite for the UK.
Right.
Labor Party's in blue and in red. And the Conservative Party, which is the more obviously conservative party, like the Republicans, is in blue. Then there's other opposition. So they call it Her Majesty's government, which is the leading. It's like the majority. And then Her Majesty's most loyal opposition. I gotta say most loyal because you can't obviously be like traitorous opposition. So they're most loyal because everything is so proper in the UK. And then there's other opposition, which is there's the biggest other opposition besides those two parties. There's about five of those. The Scottish National Party, there's 45 of those. Because remember, Scotland is basically its own state within the United Kingdom. There's the Liberal Democrats, which is, I guess, super left-wing. There's the Democratic Unionist Party. I don't know what that is. There's Plaid Cymru. I don't know what that is. I don't know any of these. I don't know. Full disclosure, I have nothing.
No, you're good.
Nothing about.
But it shows people like
UK
how many freaking parties there are, dude. Yeah, like
the Social Democratic and Labour Party, Alba Party, Alliance Party, Green Party, and Independent. And there's the Sinn Féin and one speaker.
Wow.
And the speaker is not really a member. I don't think they vote. I think they just are like, they literally are just the speaker.
And they don't have a bias or anything?
Right.
That's actually like an interesting idea. Like, what if the Supreme Court wasn't allowed to vote?
Or, what do you mean? You
know what I mean? Or not Supreme Court. Supreme Justices weren't allowed to vote or something.
So the Supreme Court is made up of justices.
Right. Like the nine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? What do you mean they wouldn't be allowed to vote?
Well, I'm just saying, what if? Because, like, you know, they can't be biased at all.
Oh, like vote in elections?
Yeah. What if they weren't allowed to vote in elections because it would make them unbiased, right? Like, what if they weren't allowed to have a political party? You know what I mean? But I guess you wouldn't be able to get to that point because you have to elect them from somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. You have to
get them from somewhere.
Because
so you're not going to.
That's the thing. You'd never have a Supreme Court justice from Texas because you have to be an elected judge in Texas. We elect our judges here. So they have to be, literally have to be in a political
party. And they would already have a political, standpoint.
Right. Unless they ran as an independent, which they could do. Right. But, you know.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Texas has a lot.
I was just saying, man. Yeah, we just throw out these concepts, let you shoot them down. That's good. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of different political parties in the U.S. Since, you know, the late 1700s. Federalists, anti-federalists were, you know, kind of the first. And then the Democratic Republicans, kind of Madison and Jefferson, kind of went that way.
Was that a rhino?
Huh? A rhino?
Is that pretty much a rhino? Like, because it's a Democratic Republican, you know?
No. Definitely way different. The values and the questions facing the nation were completely different than the values and the questions facing the nation today.
See, that's one thing to point out. That's one main thing we should point out then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That these parties don't always stay the same at all. They fluctuate over time because of the things the nation is going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always one big thing that people end up divided on that actually ends up being the pillar of that party,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, right now, what is that one big thing? Probably COVID.
Political parties?
Yeah, I know it sounds stupid because it's like a science that's not even close, but like what is right now, what is the biggest thing dividing America?
I would say that's a divisive issue. I would say the biggest thing dividing America is kind of what we put up as our Facebook
questions. I don't mean all this crap. You mean like government control and not government control.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think the government should be in control or not?
By the way, guys, that is one of our Facebook questions this week. If you guys want to answer it, go do it right now. It'll be on our next episode. This episode does not have a Facebook segment, unfortunately, because we've had a lot of stuff going on. We posted that 9/11 episode pretty quick, so it was, man.
Jumped in there.
Crazy.
So, there's a Federalist and Anti-Federalist, and then the Democratic Republicans kind of after that. And they're... We can go into that if we want to, but let me just get through this.
No. Yeah, we don't have to.
So then there's the basically Democratic Party that pops out of the Democratic Republican Party, and there's a rise of populism from that because voting rights vastly expanded in the early 19th century. It used to just be you had to be a white landowning elite, then you could vote. If you didn't own land, if you weren't white male, so white landowning men, that's it, that's the only people that could vote. And since then we've slowly added more
voting rights
to every demographic,
right?
But in the 1830s there was a rise of populism because every white man could vote. You no longer had to own land. You just had to be 18. I'm pretty sure that was the age limit. And that gave rise to Andrew Jackson, who was the first Democrat president and probably, you know, the most famous up until really like Wilson or FDR, somebody like that in the 20th century. And the most consequential. He was a very consequential president. But on the same token, we've had the Anti-Masonic Party, the National Republican Party, the Whig Party, the Liberty Free Soil Party, and then finally the Republican Party. The first Republican president, of course, was Abraham Lincoln, and obviously greatest president of all time. So, Him.
I just want to tell you right now, Beyonce Washington had the best video Jefferson. Of all time.
just kidding. Taylor, I love you, but
nah.
So that's pretty interesting. And then there's been several kind of changes throughout the parties because of the basically how we wanted to set up the country.
Yeah, right.
Like, for instance, in the early 1800s, 1828 to 1854, there was like the second party system as opposed to the first party system. This was like Federalist, Anti-Federalist. Like, do we want a strong national government that has power over the states, or do we want states that are basically autonomous and then the national government provides for a national defense? It's like, do we want a country that's like Europe? Everybody's in their own country.
Every state is their own country.
And then we've got NATO that's a common defense.
Yeah.
That'd be like the anti-federalist. Or do we want America the way it is, a strong federal government that has kind of overarching dominion over the states?
Yeah, dude, right now, speaking of that, right now we're in a time where people are questioning the current system for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question right now of whether do we want to be like Europe or not? You know, that same question is being brought up again. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, you know, we're dealing with a big issue here where we might end up a little bit divided.
Yep.
So, wow. Man. But yeah, so that was, I mean, that's, so that like kind of the history leading up to it, I guess.
Yep. So, sorry, I just had to
let's debunk something real quick.
Sure, yeah.
You know, not really debunk, but maybe just kind of like...
Debunk the shit out of it.
Help.
What?
Help some people figure this out, you know?
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I think that's talked about, you know, whenever you talk about party history is the big flip. You know, everyone brings that up.
Right.
Right. We need to... Let's talk about that and let's get people on the same page here because... You know, it didn't really happen, right?
So, no, that is a total myth.
Right.
Total myth to cover up for, you know, centuries of democratic racism. Which, I mean...
It's propaganda. That's propaganda.
Of course, yeah. When you think about it, the Republican Party has always been about individual liberty, 100%.
Dude, okay.
And the Democratic Party has always been about the collective and what's best for... The commoner. No, not really. No, the elite.
Oh, the elite. No.
Completely. Mm. The elitists, yeah. Always.
Like who do Democrats, Hunger Games, who do capital style.
Yeah, who do Democrats look up to? They look up to celebrities. They look up to politicians. You know, Obama's the greatest. He's a celebrity and a politician. You know,
like you're talking about like common Democrats. Like you're talking about like literally just regular people that are Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
Look up to celebrities. Look up to, oh, you're interesting. That's interesting. You're right. You're
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that may have changed a little bit Trump became president.
There was definitely more of a cult of personality. There was definitely more of a cult of personality around Trump. Right. But
would you say Ronald Reagan was that way too?
That is an exception to the rule. To an extent, yes. Yeah. But Ronald Reagan was also way more likable than Trump.
That's a good point.
In general.
But so my biggest argument to that is that our first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that should just say it in itself, right? He technically ended slavery, I guess.
Yeah, he did end slavery.
The party's flipped? When did that happen? You know, like, I'm just thinking, like, how can that be in someone's head? Is it just because they hear it, you know?
Yeah.
They just hear it on YouTube or whatever?
It's because they hear that the Republicans are racist today and the Democrats were racist back then. That's basically it. And they switched somehow.
Have flipped, you know?
Yeah. So actually, Wikipedia like says this, and this is you know, I like Wikipedia for their basic timelines of events, like undisputable facts.
But I've got to apologize to the listeners for this. I know a lot of people. Wikipedia gets a lot of bad flack. They always email me about freaking donations, and almost all of their articles that I read are biased. But in the case of timelines for history. Somehow it actually ends up being okay. And I think it's because people don't want to go and edit that. You know? Because you know how anyone can really get in and edit? Mm-hmm. Supposedly?
Yeah.
I think it's just because people don't actually want to mess with that. Because it's boring. It's not as fun as messing with someone's biography or you know, random articles that are written on New York Post and crap.
Yeah, so they say that there's a six party system, and that's from they say party system in that different parties have risen and fallen. And this whole article is like really, really suspect. It's like, meh, really? I've never heard of this in history, in any of my history classes. I've never heard of, in my poli-sci classes, none of this. I've never heard of this.
This is off Wikipedia.
Really made up. Yeah exactly. So this page, the Wikipedia page, is called Political Parties in the United States. So it has been suggested that portions of party system be split from it and merged into this article discuss. So they're already talking about splitting this page up because a lot of it is conjecture and weird theory. But the six-party system, just to read off of this, from 1968 to present, they say it's disputed exactly when the fifth-party system ended and six began. No, and this is all from one source. There's like a whole big paragraph from one source. Let me find out what that source is. Yeah, David Woodard, The New Southern Politics from 2006. And never heard of any of that. So it's disputed when it began. It also marks the end of a proposed historical realignment period beginning in 1958. In the 1960s, the Southern strategy shifted Southern Democrats to the Republican Party as Nixon was winning landslides. Okay, in 1968, he won a landslide. He wasn't winning landslides in 1960. He lost to Kennedy in 1960. So it's like, you see what I'm saying? I was like, yeah. What the hell are you talking about? So the part that got me was the Southern strategy. And I'm like, Southern strategy shifted Southern Democrats to the Republican Party. That wasn't a Southern strategy. That was a demographic change and a income distribution change. It happened when, so historically, and from, I'm talking from the early days of the Republican Party, in the mid-19th century, mid-1800s, to today, the upper middle class and the upper class has historically been Republican. They believe in individual liberty, individual rights, individual freedom. They want the government largely out of their affairs.
Probably a little bit more capitalism, too.
Right, yeah. Free enterprise, less handouts, that sort of thing. So I clicked on Southern strategy and was like, what is this? What's going on here? And this page is really biased. The Southern strategy page, it is not historically accurate at all. So this is the first paragraph real quick. In American politics, the Southern strategy was a Republican Party electoral strategy to increase political support among white voters in the South by appealing to racism against African Americans.
What?
Yeah.
It just says that?
And it's like, no, like yeah. Not even close. And then they go on to trash one of my absolute favorite Republicans of all time. As the civil rights movement and dismantling of Jim Crow laws in the 1950s and 60s visibly deepened existing racial tensions in much of the southern United States, Republican politicians such as presidential candidate Richard Nixon and Senator Barry Goldwater developed strategies that successfully contributed to the political realignment of many white conservative voters in the South who had traditionally supported the Democratic Party rather than the Republican Party.
Wait, okay, hold on a second. Before we go any further, you just dropped a bombshell, dude.
Yeah, last sentence.
Okay.
It also helped push the Republican Party more to the right. Much more to the right. That's from one source. Sorry, no, that's from... Yeah, so from as the Civil Rights Movement dismantling... So basically, most of that's from one source.
And you said your favorite Republican ever?
Yeah, one of my favorites is Barry Goldwater, ran in 1964. Oh,
wow. That's what some of the bombshell, dude. People want to know, bro. Maddie B's favorite, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, like I say, he's one of my favorites, but he's Barry Goldwater was famously against the Civil Rights Act of 1964 because of I can't remember exactly which one it was. One of the titles that basically said that a private business can't discriminate against someone based on the color of their skin. Because that was the first time. That was one of the first times that the federal government told a private business what they can and can't do.
And he was against that because of that?
Period. Yeah, no matter what it was about.
So, but do you but he do said, you think he said, we should?
Huh?
You think a private business, like, I'm, I don't
100%.
Know.
A private business should have the right to say, you're black, I don't want to serve you, get out. 100%.
You think so?
And I also believe 100% that business should go out of business and that business owner should never have a business again.
I see what you're saying.
You,
it's free market.
I think it's totally wrong.
You believe, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You believe that the free market would fix those problems anyway.
Exactly.
If there was someone that racist in business, they're probably going to get kicked out anyway.
Yep.
But it shouldn't be the government doing it for you.
Right. There should be no city ordinances saying, you know, like whites only water fountain, because, you know, public water fountains, there should be no city ordinances that say they're white or black only, because
governments can't decide that.
Yes.
But private businesses, you think, should.
Yeah, just like a private business has the right to decide whether or not they want to test their employees for COVID or not.
And the same thing as like the cake in Colorado serving gays.
Yep.
No, I know. I get it. But here's the interesting thing I'll say. You can control those things. You can't necessarily control the race, right? So that's where I'll say the argument for against it might. Like, you can't control your race, but you can control whether or not you get COVID or get tested or whatever, get a vaccination or any of that crap, or whether or not you're gay or not, right?
Well, you can't control whether you're gay or not.
Okay, so it's not
And
a
you
choice.
Really can't control right. whether you get COVID or not. You can't. You're either going to get it or you're not going to.
No, I know that, but tested or like getting vaxxed
they'll decrease your chances. And getting tested.
Dude, oh my gosh. I know the legitimate facts. I'm just telling you what they're saying. They would say, like a business owner would say, if you're vaccinated, you can come in. If you're not, you know, get tested right here.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't get tested. But those things are things that you can, like, yeah, you're right. You can't, because COVID will happen no matter what anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a matter of the free market. You can choose to go to the business or not.
Right. Right.
Okay, cool.
And you can choose to work at that business or not. And a state has jurisdiction over whether they want to make their businesses in that state test for COVID or not, or make people get the jab, you know? A state, let's say California is like every employer that has 50 employees or more, they have to mandate a COVID vaccine or a weekly test for their employees.
It's 100, right?
It could be. It's
oh,
a
you're
state.
Talking. I'm talking about the like
a different
the
law.
Next, the, literally the one that Biden just put in place was 100 or more, right?
But in the example I'm giving, I'm saying if a state implemented that, it's completely legal. Businesses have absolutely no. They can argue that it's against the state constitution. You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
a state can.
Yeah.
A state has the power to do that, and that's where the power lies, with the states. But if the president of the United States wants to say for every business that has 100 employees, you have to have everyone has to have the vaccine, or you have to have a weekly test.
Okay, so that's why this guy was against it, because it's a federal law being put into place,
right?
Not a state law,
100%.
And it should have been. You states can do whatever
it's
they
up
want
to the states,
here.
Right?
I see what
just
you're saying.
Just like gay marriage, just like legalization of
he was
drugs.
Probably extremely like ostracized. Is that what you call it? Bullied? I don't know. He probably was hated for his opinion on that.
Barry Goldwater?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons he lost the 1964 presidential election.
That's controversy, right? That's a lot. That's
election.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They'll think that he's racist just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
They would probably blame him for
and that.
That
was probably a big thing of like, oh, well, Republicans are racist because they don't believe in the civil rights. It's like more Republicans voted for the 1964 and 1968 government voting rights acts and civil rights acts
than Democrats
did.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it's not surprising to me,
because there are more Dixiecrats, there are more racist Democrats than there were, you know, even half racist Republicans back in the 60s, and that's not that long ago,
right?
You think there was a big switch in the 70s? No,
yeah,
definitely not.
So the big flip. So yeah, you're right. So we laid it down, guys. The big flip did not.
That's part of it.
Happen.
That's just part of it. Then there's the whole economic issue. That was just the racial issue. There's the whole economic issue of, as people, like I said, Republicans are the party of the wealthy. There's a reason for that, is because wealthy people tend to believe in individual responsibility and individual liberty.
And they pick their bootstraps up.
Right, exactly.
Themselves up by their bootstraps.
They're business owners. They're hardworking employees with good jobs, you know. And not to say Democrats aren't, but just statistically speaking, that's the way the breakdown demographics go. And as, so in the South, Reconstruction, Basically, everybody in the South is poor. Everybody. Whites, blacks, just about everybody in the South. There's very few wealthy, elite whites that run the states, and that's pretty much all that's in the South. But by the time Reconstruction goes through and the South industrializes and a little bit more Northerners move South, the poverty rate lowers and people are lifted out of poverty, mostly whites at the time, because the Democrats that were in power implemented Jim Crow laws and mostly Jim Crow and segregation laws that kept blacks in the South down, so they couldn't rise out of poverty. And they mostly didn't vote because they couldn't. And then as soon as they could vote, it was the 60s and the Civil Rights Act had passed, and the Democrats kind of reinvented themselves as the party of civil rights, right? LBJ got his picture with MLK so many times that people just associated them with each other instead of, you know, Robert Byrd being the face of the Democratic Party, who was Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton's mentor. He's also in the KKK.
What?
Yeah.
That's a bombshell.
Senator Robert Byrd in the KKK. True fact. So as people rose out of poverty, they began to turn more Republican. And so that's when you started to see Republicans dominate in the South.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. No, I get it. There you go, dude.
Simple.
Laying it down as usual. The flip did not happen.
Yeah. The flip happened, but not because Republicans are racist. The opposite.
What?
Because Democrats stopped pretending to be, or pretended to, they pretended to stop being racist.
They got better at faking it.
Right.
They got better at faking it, and here we are.
The Democratic Party has always been the party about slavery, whether it's the white plantation owner that physically owns a slave, or whether it's the government that makes you so dependent on it that you have nowhere else to turn.
That's where we're at right now. See, we're getting more and more.
100%
where we're at. It's not about physical slavery or putting you down, like as far as not being able to walk into a restaurant or whatever. It's about literally making you as poor as possible.
Right. And Candace Owens came out with a whole book about it.
Really?
It was called Blackout. How I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing the subtitle, but it's basically how blacks can leave the second Democratic plantation.
And right now, if you look at the statistics for vaccine mandates or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they do it, it will end up affecting the minorities and lower income demographics as well.
Yep.
More than anyone else.
Yep. A lot more.
A lot more. Yeah. It's very interesting.
So
my thing against that was, are they working right now anyway? Like, because I don't know.
What do you mean, vaccine mandates or
no? Are the people in those demographics working anyway?
Depends on the state that they're in,
right? Yeah, that's a good point. Because Texas right now, yeah, I don't know. You know, they said, you know, Texas got away with the whole $600 a week thing or whatever. Now it's back down to $300 or whatever. And I know that, and I've seen that, and it happened like a month ago. I get it, you know, but I'm not seeing the changes in our employment numbers.
Yeah. A lot of people are, there's help wanted signs everywhere.
Yeah, that's not changing. Everywhere. That's not changing. So the fact that Texas got rid of it, I don't think that actually helped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering.
I think it helped a little, but not as much as it should
not
be.
Not even close, dude. Like, I'm wondering if, you know, I worked in a restaurant, right? First-hand experience, dude. They're like literally like trying the hardest to get people in. And I'm not saying this because I'm an advocate for the restaurant or for the, you know, people need to work. I'm actually not going to say that. I'm actually kind of on the side of, you know, with inflation, so does pay. My problem in saying that, I know, is that the ratio is always the same, so everything else gets expensive too.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're already in a position where everything is going to get expensive, actually it already has, and it will continue to get more expensive, well, then pay has to follow, right? It has to. Like, if it doesn't, then literally you're going to end up starving people.
You don't see deflation happen very often, and it's a dangerous thing once it does happen.
That it's not good, and that's my thing.
Yeah,
my thing, yeah, it's trying to correct. Like, it's like the pendulum, right? Mm-hmm. You can't do it. Whenever you're doing this stuff, it's like if you're either on the one side or not, and it's like both of those are bad. Mm-hmm. Very hard to stay in the middle, right? It just doesn't happen. It's always the Federal Reserve trying to correct it, but no matter what, it's just going to keep doing it. Anyway, with all that said, $10 an hour should be raised in some instances, you know, where we've been getting $10 an hour for the last 8 years. Does it make sense? Because mm-hmm. there's no way, I don't think there's a way to avoid that. And so I'm not going to be the guy that's like, you guys aren't paying. I'm not going to be on the extreme side of that whole thing, but I actually do kind of, I actually do fall on the side of, well, when demand calls for it, you know, you might have to do it. Now, I'm saying that because I actually don't have any choice over it anyway, and neither should the government.
My only thing
So private businesses should figure this crap out and be like, well, we need to do this. Let's go. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, during this whole COVID thing, the private company that I work for right now, Stash, right? It's like three people. We're just chilling. We're building this whole thing up, right? I went into almost a salary position because he's like, it's about, you know, we're slow AF right now. And you're not going to get paid if I don't do this, because it was kind of commission based. Mm-hmm. I'm contracting, right, with the business. So it's like every job I do gets paid. If I don't do a job, I don't get paid. He was just like, I'm going to pay you this base salary right now because otherwise you're not going to get paid. So that's what he did to account for the.
Where do you get that money
the
from?
The problem, right? Well, it's his business. Go ahead, keep going.
So if you have a business with 10 people, like, it's unsustainable. Yeah, it's cool for a business with 3 people, and if he's got the resources to do that, yeah, that's fine. But most businesses can't just pay you,
I'm not saying they should do that.
You can't put the onus on small businesses when it's the government's fault in the first place.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said. Also, I didn't put it on him either. I just was meaning, like, that's what happened. I guess I meant, like, you do what you have to do, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, most business owners will figure it out.
That's what I'm saying. That whole thing was not to say I deserve that. That's not what I'm saying.
Most of the businesses that have tried to figure it out have just died. Most of the small businesses, like a lot of small businesses, small restaurants during COVID died. That's because of government lockdowns. But yeah, you're saying that to get people back to work, we need to raise wages because of inflation. Well, that's like saying, I don't know. That's like saying you need to. I don't know. I can't even think of a good analogy now.
Give me a counter. How do you fix? I'm not saying that we should do that. I'm saying that
there is
makes some kind of
there
sense.
Is no,
like, there's no
painless way to solve this problem. That's what people have to understand. It is going to be a painful recovery, and no matter what. The best thing that we can do, of course, is abolish the freaking Federal Reserve, because they're digging us deeper into this hole.
But you can't.
Listen, if you keep interest rates low artificially, you're going to cause more inflation. Now, if you slowly, incrementally raise interest rates, yeah, you're going to probably cause the Dow to drop a little bit. You're going to cause a couple of short-term side effects, but in the long term, it's going to be better.
It's way better.
Inflation.
When did they do this? 1980s. When did it happen? We like raised the rate like crazy. The tax rate like went up. When was that?
Interest rates. Interest rates skyrocketed.
It was like 1940s.
Great
Depression.
It really depends. I know specifically one time was 1980. I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember the president that did it, but he was just like, "We're doing this," and it was like he just jacked it up. And
I think it was maybe 81, and it was Reagan early in his first term, and they're like, we're going to skyrocket interest rates, stop the stagflation in its tracks.
And it sucked for a little while, but then it got way better.
Absolutely, there was a small recession, but right. Then there was the economic boom of the late 80s and 90s, which right. lasted for 15, 20
okay.
years. Right?
I am all behind that. I'm there for that, dude. Mm-hmm. Getting that to happen, I don't know if it'll happen.
It's impossible.
Or not.
100% now, okay, will not happen.
Okay.
It's only going
to
get worse.
That's why I come down to the fact that I don't know if I mean that I'm like 100% like, yeah, they need to raise their minimum wage. But I'm like, out of all the options we're given, that might be what happens. That's what I'm saying. You know?
Out of the options that we're given,
we're not given any options. There's nothing happening.
Automation. So, you're going to see more business. You're going to see more automation companies come into business, and I'm talking really soon. I'm talking within the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see lots of automation. The companies like Tesla, Hamburger Flipper, or whatever it is, you know, and those little jobs are going to be gone. They'll get away with the help hiring sign, and they'll just be a robot. Or they'll do what Walmart did and make people check themselves out.
Yeah, Walmart did a huge renovation on all their stores. Like the Walmart down the street that's local to me is literally all self-checkout. There's no cashiers.
No help wanted sign. No problem. No lower class. It's just UBI for those people. They just sit and watch TV and be creative. And
so that's where the problem arises. Out of the way. Dude.
And guess who they vote? Guess who they vote for? They vote Democrat. And guess who they rely on? They rely on the government. Yeah. And guess what they do? Nothing. They are drones. They don't do anything. They have no stake.
Yes, dude.
And that's what's happening. That is slowly what's happening. And their plan, the Democrats' plan, is working perfectly. Flawlessly, with the help of the Chinese Communist Party, with the help of Russian hackers.
Okay, dude.
Because they all want that to happen too.
So, is there a way to more reasonably fight that rather than, like, I know we want to abolish the Federal Reserve, and I agree with that, but since that's impossible, or since they're not going to raise interest rates, what are we doing here? You know, like if we were in the GOP right now and we had some say, you know, what would we be saying to fix the employment issues and stuff? You know, there's no other way, right? What do you do? I'm thinking about this because you're right. Yes, dude, they're going to automate everything if it stays the same.
I would completely, absolutely 100% just stop talking about COVID. That'd be the first thing I would do, is never even talk about it again. I would say if you're vaccinated, you have nothing to worry about. If you're unvaccinated, fine. Don't come crawling to me if you need help. You're on your own. Same goes for you, insurance companies. And guess what? I would say the federal government may still pay for the vaccine, but we're not going to pay your medical bills if you get COVID at this point, and you know you need to be hospitalized. Your insurance company is on its own. Y'all need to figure that out. It's been almost 2 years since we've known about COVID, so. So at this point, you know how to treat it. You know how to figure it out. Be safe. And that's it. We're done talking about it. There's not going to be any more lockdowns. There's not going to be mask mandates. On a federal level, we're absolutely done talking about it. State governors, I hope y'all are done talking about it. Be rational. Be smart. But stop fear-mongering. That'd be the first thing I would do. Second thing I would do is say, if I was a Republican in like if I was Kevin McCarthy, if I was House Minority Leader, I would say we've got to, and Michael Knowles has said this a lot. He said we've basically got to fight them at their own game.
Yeah, we do the exact same thing they're doing.
We've got to impeach the crap out of Joe Biden. We've got to wield government like they wield government, and that's the only way we're going to be able to fight back. Conservatives don't want to do that because they don't believe in. They don't necessarily believe in government powers. You know, they don't believe in government's the solution to problems. And sometimes it actually has to be because the government is the problem. You know, only government can destroy government, right? People can't. You can only choose who's in it sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like when it comes to let's just pretend we're in a dire situation where it's tyrants against the people.
Let me also say, I don't think any of that's going to happen.
It's not. Wait, the stuff you just said?
Yeah, no. I agree. None of it's going to happen.
It's not. Because why? Because it's not profitable. Everything you just said is not profitable.
Yeah, exactly. And Republicans in the leadership just don't. They're not about it. I don't know. If Trump gets elected again in 2024, the only thing is, I feel like he's just kind of delaying and slowing the inevitable decline of the U.S. I think it's...
Yeah, I think it needs to happen. I think we just need to let's let this thing go so we can freaking figure it out after we're done, because we're too far in.
Yeah, we're either going to bounce back or we're going to drown. And there was one guy on Gutfeld who was I think a Green Beret or a Special Forces or something like that, and he was like, bad times breed strong men, and strong men lead to good times. Good times lead to weak men.
Yeah, breed
then,
weak men. Yeah.
Yeah, breed weak men, and then weak men lead to bad times, and then bad times.
Right, it's a cycle. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Right now we're in.
Was that Chaco? Who was on?
Yeah,
who
I think
was on
I think that was probably him.
Yeah, most likely the guy's like, yeah,
yeah.
That he's guy. Like, get hard or stay hard.
I'm Chaco, bro. Yeah,
stay hard, and then he's
yeah. Okay, so that guy.
I saw he was on there, and I was like, I just ignore. I know what he's gonna say. So
yeah, right.
Like,
yeah, just, you know, yeah, pretty much the same thing.
He's cool.
But that makes it. I mean, that really makes a lot of sense, and that's. I feel like that's. I agree with that statement. We're in that.
Well, that's
situation.
Been said for a while. That is literally what we're in. The fourth turning is based on. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's based on that, but it's literally like when
it's
they
the
talk.
Same theory.
It's the same type of thing,
that's
right?
That's a simplification of the fourth turning.
Yeah, it's literally yes, exactly. And what have we been talking about the whole freaking time? Fourth turning. Like we're on it, dude. We're in it. Mm-hmm. We're in that crap, man. No one said fourth turning can't last a long time. We might. This might last, you know, another freaking 10 years.
God, I hope not.
I do too. But if Trump becomes president, and then we have some other freaking Republican presidents, we're just sitting here, man. We're like jumping from little platform to little platform, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As we fall, you know. You know, done.
But to go back to the political parties and to just kind of simplify things a little bit, like it really, There's Democrats and Republicans, right? And then there's Libertarians, and then there's Socialists, and then there's the Communist Party USA and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And there's like, yeah, like I was going to say this because you've said that numerous times on the show. I want to kind of talk about nuances too. Like you say you're liberal or you're classical liberal or you know whatever, right? We've mentioned that a couple of times.
Yeah. So definitionally, I would say that Democrats. The Democratic Party is really split. There's kind of more moderate Democrats like Kristen Sinema in Arizona, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, to name two people in the Senate. I would say like, what's her name? Gabbard from Hawaii is fairly...
Tulsi Gabbard?
Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii is fairly moderate. She's from the House.
Dude.
She's
awesome.
She definitely is very commonsensical. And then you've got the more leftist side of the Democratic Party. That's like your AOC and, Barack Obama. And of course, Joe Biden is over there as well. Bernie Sanders, big one, very left leaning people that, they want government programs for everything. You know, there should be, everything the government should be involved in, all of your health care, dental plan should be government run, like, and there should be no private insurance. They want government run health care. They want the government to decide what kind of cars you should drive, where you should go to school.
That's almost like
how big of a house you can have.
It's almost like socialism.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, they're democratic socialists. That's what Bernie Sanders calls himself, as opposed to like a
so it's
dictatorial
like more, so basically, the more left you go, I think socialism is on the left side of Democrats. So like,
for sure,
you literally are going left, and on if you're so guys, everyone wants to talk about the political spectrum. That's always what they bring up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the political spectrum is literally just like from right to left. And I know you've heard, well, you're on the right or you're on the left or whatever. They're talking about the political spectrum. Now, in that spectrum, there's a lot of nuanced things. What I want to get into here. Mm-hmm. You know, you mainly have, you know, you have the Republicans on the right and you have the Democrat and the camera's right there. So I'm going, yeah, Republicans on the right and you have the Democrats on the left. Now, when you're looking at this spectrum, you know, you have the small and little parties in between kind of thing going mm-hmm. on. And I would say the further you go to the right, you end up at libertarian. Like, wouldn't you say?
Libertarian is kind of funny because there's a lot of Democrats that also have libertarian tendencies like Tulsi Gabbard. Like legalization of drugs, like some abortion arguments claim to be from libertarian.
But it's based on, I agree, but it's also based on a different principle. Wouldn't you say? Libertarians want legalization of drugs and these other things because they don't want any government.
Right.
Democrats want it because social justice.
Because they don't want any government involved in.
Democrats want the same thing? No government involved in that?
In your personal bodily choices. Right?
Oh, my body, my choice. That goes with my body, my choice.
Kind of, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, well, they're the same principle. So then what do we end up at?
It's the same argument, but it doesn't mean it's, okay, doesn't mean it's a good argument.
Before we get into that, hold on, before we get into that. So I will say, before we complicate the spectrum.
Right.
It does get complicated, guys, but then as you go left, you end up at socialism. That's all I'll say.
Socialism, so, communism. Boom.
Right. So when they talk about extreme left, they're talking about these crazy people like Kamala Harris and AOC, and these guys are just like, whoa, they're kind of far out, right? Mm-hmm. And then we talk about crazy right, you're talking about like Proud Boys stuff, right? And you're like, those are extreme right people, which, by the way, may not even be true.
I was going to
say, but that's what they say.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them extreme right at all. Right. I would say they're probably far right, but I wouldn't say extreme right. I would say extreme right would be like your Aryan Brotherhood, your KKK, your fascist party.
You think so?
Fascists.
And then you have the, so Antifa then, in my opinion, really they're like destroy the world type people. They don't even have a party, in my opinion.
Right.
They just want to see the world burn, right?
Antifa mostly, I feel like Antifa is mostly anarchists.
Yeah, anarchists.
And they're really politically ignorant, honestly. They call themselves anti-fascist, but they are extremely fascist in that they violently condemn any opposing views, it's sad to say,
but most of them are have been like traumatized in the past and all that stuff, right? They're like people that have a reason to be like hate everyone kind of thing, if that makes sense. Anyway, whatever, dude. So then to complicate that spectrum a little bit more, so you end up saying that a lot of libertarian views align with some of the Democratic views and stuff like that. We've talked about on this show before legalizing all drugs and things like that, that we actually kind of agree with, and that's where we end up saying, oh well, or that's where someone might end up saying, oh well, I'm lib right. Well, I've had people mistake me when I say that for liberal right, and it's I guess you could say that's right, but it's also, or correct, but it's also what I'm trying to say is libertarian right, not liberal right. But the reason I am libertarian right is mainly, yeah, your own choice. You make your own choices for your own body type stuff, and that's a libertarian view, but I guess it's also a liberal view, huh?
It depends on, so liberals like to, in my opinion, they like to twist the argument to fit their opinion.
Well, that's an opinion, right? So based on, you're right. Yeah, I get it. I agree.
Yeah.
I should have asked that question the way I did, because what ends up happening is we just say like, well, we think that these are that way. To put it simply for listeners, how do we do it, you know? So Republicans, we've already talked about what they believe. Democrats, we've already talked about what their party's about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we gave examples of far left, so people know kind of what they fall in.
Right.
They want more socialist governments type stuff. They want to decide what house you live in, how much property you have, all that stuff, right? You will own nothing and you'll be happy.
Right.
Socialist party. And then over here on the right, we have the more towards libertarian, which I know people might know this already, but it's zero government. You are your own person.
Well, hold on. Let me stop you there.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Libertarian is not zero government.
Okay.
Libertarian is very, very limited government.
Okay.
Like the national defense, you know, should be kept at the federal level.
Okay.
It was basically like, or it's originalism. It's constitutional originalism. You'll get a lot of libertarian values from that. But then all the programs that, you know, governments are now known for typically doing, like roads and certain colleges and stuff like that, public education schools, whatever, that should all be done at the local level. Like, as local as possible. Like, your town should have its own, you know, independent school district, which most do. Most, at least in Texas, property taxes pay for your schools.
Maybe you have a county college, which we do have some of those, too.
Right.
We just don't have any of the big
state funding. And then maybe some state universities.
Right.
Like Texas A&M.
Yep.
You know, other public universities. And then that's it. Now big universities get federal funds, so they're corrupt, they're beholden to federal curriculum and federal guidelines. Once they get those funds, it's
and the roads have to do with which laws? I can't remember.
It depends on the road. So if it's an interstate highway, then it's the federal government. And if it's a county road, then it's the county. And if if it's a city road, then it's the city.
I guess I couldn't remember what, like, you know how Louisiana was like holding out? They're like, we're not going to do our roads. Or we're not going to do something. And the federal government said, we're not going to redo your roads because of that. What was the law? What was the rule?
So that was...
Speed limits? I can't
remember.
That
was raising the drinking age to 21.
Oh, there we go. There it is.
Yeah, okay. In the 1980s, they raised the drinking age from 18 to 21. And they said, well, we're going to withhold your federal funding for highway maintenance and construction until you change your state laws to... Right.
That's a pretty common theme there. Like that, or not theme, a common like
tactic by the federal government.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
They just did it with tobacco.
Really? Tobacco? I thought you were about to say with
tobacco. You have to be 21 to buy tobacco now. And that has to be a state law because there's no federal law that can say you have to be 21 to do X. Other than what's been in the Constitution for like federal office, like you have to be 35 to be president of the United States.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, cool. So that's that. So that's the libertarian you were explaining.
So yeah, libertarian is very limited government. Done. And then anarchy would be like no government at all.
Right.
Like
you get your
anarchist. Anarchist doesn't necessarily believe in no order. A lot of people get confused with like, oh, you just want chaos all the time. Well, chaos is not anarchy necessarily. Anarchy typically devolves into chaos eventually and tribalism, and it's not very good. There's got to be some sort of government.
To put that into perspective, if you have five people running 200 people, that's a government, right?
Right.
That's still a government. Like, people don't understand that. Anarchy would really literally, quite literally mean no one.
There's
no control.
Yeah.
And so when you see like Chaz,
the biggest guy in
Seattle.
Yeah, the biggest guy gets the bread.
Was there a leader of Chaz? Nah. You think, right. Wasn't there? I don't think there was. I didn't hear about a leader or anything. That was anarchy. Mm-hmm. And you see how that went. Very small scale.
Right.
And very quick. But imagine that on a country scale, even a state scale.
Afghanistan.
And you have Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. That's what you have. Interesting.
Or Somalia.
What's even more interesting to me is that people don't compare. Why don't people look at that? Why don't people look at other countries and think,
oh, yeah. People are freaking dumb.
Okay.
Wow. Duh.
Our listeners are smart people. Don't listen to him.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's not something that people think about. No, they're busy with their lives or whatever. They don't think about political science or political theory, you know? Right. And that's, like, all I think about, so.
Clearly.
It's like, yeah, exactly. If you just look at government-controlled anything, it doesn't go as well as privately-controlled anything. Like, what does the government do that private industry doesn't do better? Or what does the government do better than private industry? Are toll roads better than highway roads? Than, like, interstate highways? Yeah. Toll roads usually have bigger, wider lanes. They're well-lit. Always super smooth. You gotta pay for them. Like, do you know that a lot of the toll roads in DFW are owned by Qataris in the Middle East? And they funded a lot of terrorism. So, kind of conflicting. Anyway.
conflicting.
And in Spain, like I think there's certain, like, I want to say it's like municipalities in Spain that own the toll roads in DFW. Isn't that weird? It's weird. Anyway, they're privately owned, so. They work way better.
Right.
And, private schools work way better than public schools.
We've talked about that. So we've had episodes, guys. If you guys want to go back and look, you can.
Mm-hmm.
I actually usually discourage people from going back and listening because, like, we've just gotten better and better and better. And, like, if you go back to our first episode, you're like, what the heck is this? We do have episodes about privatizing education.
Yes.
And, you know, like I said, legalizing
all
drugs.
We dive deeper into all that.
And
stuff.
Abolishing the IRS. Like you guys can figure out our views by watching those episodes if you'd like. You know, as much as I like to stay unbiased, what I mean when I say that is, you guys have heard it on this episode. I just want to make sure you guys can hear all the views that are talked about. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we get into an echo chamber, we don't hear about those things. We don't know that people actually want a universal basic income or how they want it implemented. We don't know that the minimum wage thing, how it works or why it wouldn't work. I don't like to constantly attack one side or the other, because mm-hmm. it doesn't get anywhere. And so that's why I do that. And usually what ends up happening is Matt's explains why it wouldn't work, and that's literally the point of the show.
Yeah,
so that you guys can understand that.
Yeah, and I try to play devil's advocate as right. much as I can, but usually, and another thing about another difference between Democrats and Republicans is Democrats tend to be more. They tend to play out their voting habits and thoughts and train of thought and that sort of thing based on emotion. They come to their conclusions based on an emotional response to a situation. And Republicans base their solution on a logical response to the situation. So
you can see this whenever you, like, let's take climate change, for instance.
Right. That's a good example.
Climate change, Democrats will come out and say, you need to save this rainforest because look at this video. It's burning.
Look at this orangutan.
And the reason it's burning, this orangutan's dying in the fire.
Got no branches to climb
because of climate change. And then you'll be like, oh my gosh. And your heart is like dropping and you're like, that sucks, you know, and yeah. I need to do that.
But Republicans are like, where's the evidence that this is actually harming this and that we're actually destroying this, and where's the causation?
Right.
I see the correlation, but where's the causation?
Right. There's not an immediate emotional response.
And then
response.
The Democrats will go, you don't care about that orangutan that's dying.
Right.
And,
it
and
doesn't
the Republican goes,
mean,
I don't doesn't mean I don't care. It just means I need the facts. I need right. the logic behind it.
Now, current GOP party, which is Republican. Yeah. What's the difference there? The GOP party is just Republican Party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if there was like a.
It's any, just a nickname. Yeah, it's just a grand nickname? Old, grand okay. old party.
So they currently will say those things and not really take action. That's the problem I have with the GOP party currently, but that's neither here nor there. That's not really a
yeah,
specific thing.
I mean, lack of action is...
We just talked about that. They need to start doing what
trademark.
The Democrats do
yeah.
in order to fight back.
I was going
to
say, lack of action is the trademark of the GOP.
Right.
One way or the
right.
other. And it's
and so even though we don't have emotion at the current, like immediately when we respond, does not mean we don't, or even though we don't show... We don't respond emotionally, we have emotion.
Right.
I'm trying to explain that right.
We don't use emotion to justify our solution.
Yeah, physical decisions should not be based off
not
of
even kind
emotion
of, yeah.
at all. Like,
then
think
you'll,
about,
be, you'll be giving money to everybody and you won't save some for a rainy day. You won't think about yourself.
Individual trading right now is a big deal. Individual investing, you know, whatever. Robinhood made that freaking huge, right? A long mm-hmm. time ago. We've gotten to the point now where you can mention crypto and everyone knows what you're talking about. For the most part, they like know about it. They don't, they may not know what it is. Mm-hmm. Or you can mention like Robinhood, they know what it is. Or you can mention like a random thing that happened, like GameStop stock or whatever, and everyone will know what it is. Like, because it's become so mainstream, which I love that. It's great. Household name. Trading is the same way. You cannot make a decision based on emotion, because if you do, you will lose a lot of money. And if
right.
you've ever traded, you know that exactly will happen. If you've traded like a day trader, or traded like a swing trader, or traded multiple times in a week, you will know that exists like crazy.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes you'll even fall for it. You'll go, oh, you'll get even scared, and you'll distract, and you'll click, and you'll go,
all,
I know that I
all
just
the
made
time.
A mistake.
All
yep.
the time. I
yep.
would fall. It's hard. It's just hard to beat because of
discipline.
Humans do that.
Gotta be disciplined. So another,
but it shows you why it doesn't work.
Another prime example, and this is the most prime example of all time, is COVID.
Yeah.
Democrats are deathly afraid that the COVID monster is going to come and get you and kill you and destroy our planet.
The
Republicans are like, show me the percentage. You know, then they'll say. Yeah, Democrats will say, for the children, we've got to protect the kids. You've got to mask your kid to protect them. And to protect grandma and everything. And it's like, right. okay, well, kids aren't really at risk from getting COVID. Less than 400 people under the age of 18 have died from COVID, period,
right.
in the U.S.
No, I agree. So when it comes down to it, to wrap this all up, if you're trying to decide on what party you fall on, before you even go to Facebook or media or anything of that sort,
or the party platform web pages.
Or even the party platform web pages. We need to look at fundamental truths about yourself to to figure out where you would lie. And at that point, I think you can decide, mm-hmm. what do you want, right?
Yeah.
And later, what I want to do is I want to make a questionnaire,
yeah.
for people to go to our website. We'll have that up eventually. And you can go there and you enter the questionnaire. And at the end of it, we'll say you are on this side or that side or where you might fall in the spectrum. Now, what I'll say here is that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go out and tell everyone, oh, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. Because in my opinion, I don't think you have to tell anybody.
Yeah, or you should. You shouldn't have to worry about it. You should keep an open mind and look at each individual issue.
What I like to do is tell people my values or where I stand on things, right. rather than say my party.
Right.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, that's why I tell people usually that I'm a. If they ask what party I'm in, I say I'm a libertarian leaning Republican, because that's my party affiliation.
Yeah, right.
I'm a registered Republican, but I vote Libertarian if that's on the ballot.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and then if it's not, then it's Republican over Democrat for sure.
Right.
But basically, as far right as I can go, that's where I'm voting.
Yeah.
And then like you were saying earlier, the question you really have to ask yourself is, do you want to be in control of the decisions in your lives, or do you want the government in control of
Boom.
The decisions in your lives?
And that one question right there should sum up pretty much where you'll be.
Yeah.
There are obviously other nuances, and we'll add those to the quote-unquote questionnaire we're going to make. But yeah, dude, that's it. Yeah, that sums it up, man. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking love it, bro. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. I want that feedback. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, comment.
Comment.
Like.
Yes, we are on YouTube, share. Guys, and that's where you can comment. If you're listening on a podcast platform right now, well, thank you for that. And I love podcasting. But in the show notes, you'll see the links to our email, the links to our socials. If you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter. I am The Real Sky Day. And Matt?
Toasty Matty B.
Toasty Matty B.
Facebook, too. Answer the Facebook Warrior question.
Facebook Warrior question, of course. That's on our Facebook page, The Toasty Podcast. I'll probably start putting it everywhere else as well.
Right.
Just so people can like know where it's at. So I'll probably tweet it. I'll probably have Matt tweet it. I'll probably tweet, put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram, put it everywhere. Answer the question. Win a Toasty Tea. And until next time, stay toasty.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. TheRealSkyDay.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.